roads, is going across bridges. Do you remember that part about poking out the troll's eyes and crushing all his bones and flesh and bits? It wasn't like that in the children's version that I told today. Why did I go get that? I have to have that with me as a prop. We might have to remind ourselves what goats look like from time to time. Now, in the children's version that I knew as a kid, that didn't happen. This version, though, is what happens to the troll is pretty ugly, no matter how cute the goats may be. But cute or ugly, I think that this story is out to get your goat, to get your goat. That doesn't mean that it will answer for you which goat is right or wrong, or which goat we're to take as the best example. The tale has a complexity that we may miss because it's so familiar. The moral situation of the goats is not as simple as it seems, not even for the littlest billy goat. Let's consider that cute little fellow for a minute. I wonder if we all have a picture of him in mind. What does he look like? Like a real goat or a cross between a goat and a little kid? A human child? What color do you think he is? Maybe he's baby blue or pink or something cute like that. Well, the illustrator of this children's version makes him white, with just little nubbins for horns, better for rubbing than for poking out eyes. So I'll go along with that pure white little kid. He seems totally innocent at the start of his trip over the bridge. He goes straight ahead without hesitation, expecting neither trouble nor troll. When trip-trap went the bridge, who's that tripping over my bridge? Where the troll? Only I, the tiniest of the billy goat gruff, and I'm going to the hillside to make myself fat, said the billy goat, with such a small voice. I'm coming to gobble you up, said the troll. Oh, pray don't take me. I'm too little, that I am, said the billy goat. Wait till the second billy goat gruff comes. He's much bigger. As his little trip becomes a trap, the little goat begins to negotiate with the troll. Still in perfect innocence, listen to the language that he uses. First, he states, it's only I, the tiniest goat. He even tells the troll where he's going, volunteering that information, even though the troll hasn't asked. A parent's nightmare, right? When the troll says that he's going to gobble the kid up, our little hero shifts to begging. Pray don't take me. Do you hear that? Pray don't. We can even say that he first tries praying. Then he expands on his smallness still further, just so the troll will get the point. I'm too little, that I am. His smallness, the fact that he's the tiniest goat, is changed from a liability into a defense. He makes himself now even smaller than he really is in order to slip beneath the troll's attention. I've tried that tactic. Haven't you? Most of us have been pushed into such a shrinking act from time to time, slipping under the radar, as we say today. There's not enough of me to be a problem for you. Can't you overlook something, somebody so small? These tactics often work when we face our trolls, at least temporarily. Perhaps it would have been enough for this troll to hear that the little goat was not enough to eat. We'll never know, though, because to increase the odds that he'll escape, the cute little kid ups his offer. Wait a little bit till the second billy goat gruff comes. He's much bigger. He's much bigger. We've moved to a whole new level of negotiations and a whole new moral realm. Wait and take the next goat. Now, is this goat still innocent? I'm sure that he's still small. He even may now be a little smaller than he was when he first stepped onto the bridge, diminished by even suggesting such a bargain, let alone sealing it with his brother's life. Perhaps he's at least blushing pink by the time he steps off the bridge and into the rich green pasture. A little blood has gotten mixed into his complexion. Now comes the turn for the second goat, the goat in the middle. What color would this goat be? I think that if he has a color, it must be gray. Now, apparently the illustrator of my children's story was thinking along the same lines. Nice gray goat. I choose gray because this is the color that we associate with moral ambiguity and complexity. And I believe that this goat's moral situation is the most complex of the three. His encounter with the troll is radically different from that of the first goat, though on the surface the two meanings seem nearly the same. When goat number two steps onto the bridge, he is presumably unaware that his life has been offered by the little guy and accepted by the troll. Trip trap goes the bridge much louder than before. No slipping under the radar for this guy, and what's more, before he even starts his trip, a trap has been set for him by both the troll and his brother. It's a trap. It wasn't set in malice. It was set in hunger and in fear. When he strikes a similar deal, bargaining for his own life with the life of the biggest goat, he's doing unto another what was done to him by someone else entirely. He's forced to survive by building on a bargain that never should have been made in the first place. Of the three goats in this story, the last goat I'd want to be is the goat in the middle. But the middle is just where I most often find myself. The middle goat's condition may be most of all like a human condition. We love to reclaim the innocence of the littlest goat or command the power of the biggest, but here we are so often in between one uncomfortable bargain and the next. On our first visit together to her hometown in California, my wife Pam took me to see some graffiti on the Chico State campus. It was a message that had struck her when she was young and stayed with her for years. And we were really lucky because it was still there. Under a bridge, over a creek, someone had painted the words, "Troll, don't charge me my soul." Tolls and trolls are two different kinds of obstruction that threaten to make our free passage suddenly costly. Here we see the two obstructions combined, troll and toll together. Troll, don't charge me my soul. The troll's toll is the next travel. I used to do a lot of carpentry work, and while standing on a scaffold one day that bridged two windows we were installing, my carpentry partner, my boss, looked up at the streak of a jet airplane crossing the extraordinarily blue sky and commented on the toxins and the peril in that pure white ribbon. "What are we doing to ourselves?" he asked. "And what are we doing to the next travelers?" You all know how such examples could be multiplied. I won't bore you with a long list of military, industrial dirt and damage, toxic air and soil and water, the wounds of slavery and genocide, both the old ones and the fresh ones. Trolls above, trolls below, up, down, and all around. Do we have faith or something that the next travelers will get through as safely as us? At least as safely as us. We've promised them to so many trolls. Do you have faith that the next traveler, such faith in that next traveler, that you can strike your bargain with the troll and never look back? Are you angry? Do you take it out on the next traveler when you discover that you have been paid as ransom without your knowledge or consent by the previous traveler? Or too numb with faith or anger, do we act with a dull gray lack of concern for, or a steel gray cynical disbelief in the reality of the coming travelers? Right now, right here in the middle, we are the next travelers. We are the toll paid by the last goat. And now we may be eaten if we don't pay the next traveler as our toll to the troll as well. But remember, trip trap, trip trap, I'm going to the hillside to make myself fat, said the second billy goat, who hadn't such a small voice. The good news is that besides having a bigger body than the first goat, the goat in the middle has a voice that's not quite small. He raises a fairly loud noise on the bridge. Perhaps he has half a mind to test his powers against the troll, to have it out, refuse the toll, and keep his soul untraded. But stuck in the middle of the bridge, his resolution fails, and he's thrown back on a deal like the one the littlest goat made, now bargaining off the biggest goat like he himself was bargained away by the kid. He's big enough to know what he's doing, and still he doesn't. That's me, all too often. And maybe me too. This great goat is at the beginning of wisdom we can hope. This great goat is at the very least a survivor. Our second goat hardly has time to step off the bridge before the third encounter is underway. Trip trap, went the bridge, for the billy goat was so heavy that the bridge creaked and groaned. Who's that tramping over my bridge? Roared the troll. It's I, the big billy goat gruff, said the billy goat, who had an ugly, hoarse voice of his own. I'm coming to gobble you up, roared the troll. Well, come along. I've got two spears, and I'll poke your eyeballs out at your ears. I've got besides two curling stones, and I'll crush you to bits, body and bones. And you know what happens next. What color do you think the big goat should be? Gray, white, coat of many colors? Any ideas?
Red, black.
My children's book illustrator colors him brown. The color of dried blood and certain other organic substances that we associate with having been through some of the highs and lows of life and over its messiest bridges. There's no doubt that at the end, this big billy goat is heading for the green hillside with some troll blood on his coat and some bits of troll on his horns. You'll notice that this goat identifies himself, but does not explain himself to the troll. When asked, who's that? He tells the troll who he is, but doesn't say anything about where he's going. He does not cooperate like the previous goats do. And he does not bargain. He gives the troll fair warning and then immediately acts. Why is it possible for this goat to act? Of course, he's the biggest goat. Big enough to make the bridge creak under his weight, but is his ability to act a matter of size alone? He has good tactics, and striking at the troll's eyes first before going for the body blows, he proves himself a skillful warrior. But there are plenty of us goats who command a great deal of skill and many fine tactics, we know, who can still not bring ourselves to act against a troll. No deals, no bargains. So, if it's not just size or tactics, perhaps it's a matter of experience. That's a word that's hard to explain. But you know it. You know it when you've had it. experience. What kind of experience? It's a little surprising that the second goat had no harsh words for the first, and you think that our biggest goat might have saved a bump or a poke or two for his brothers, both of them. But we hear no hard words between these three talking goats. Maybe the second goat has been the way of the first before. And the biggest goat has crossed some of his bridges by making the same kind of deals. We all know that trolls sometimes do get their goat. Could our biggest hero have helped our troll to get his goat or goats in the past? My guess is that the biggest goat has been the way of the first two. He has been there. And that matters. God, that matters. What a difference it makes as we assess the actions of others if we've been there. If we've crossed just such a bridge, making just such bargains. There is, to this brown billy goat, a grimness and weight that makes the bridge groan. There's a hoarseness to his voice. It's from the hard bargains he's made. And there is to this brown goat a confidence and a will which come of surviving experiences like the two smaller goats. He's come through such an experience to be a match and more than a match for the troll. This is not only a matter of physical size and weight. We're told that their voices are similar. That the biggest goat's voice is ugly as well as hoarse. Sometimes we need some ugly to have it out with a troll. When the goats cross to the hillside to gain weight, they've all gained a bit of ugly from what's happened on the bridge. They've grown more like the troll in ugliness. They have the troll to thank for this gift of ugliness. But they've also gained a perspective that no troll can acquire living under his or her bridge. Trolls never gain anything from their bargains but food. Trolls charge us our souls, but treat them like hamburgers when we pay. They swell. They don't grow. They don't gain in contact, but only in bulk. A bargain that means soul loss for one. A bargain that means soul loss for one can never mean soul gain for another. Our goats may have lost some innocence and gained some ugliness, but they've also gained in death. That might be what we're gaining now. Here, in the middle, as the gray light brightens, we're adding depth to distance for a life we must live increasingly in transition, increasingly on bridges. The really good bridges are not the ones we cross just to survive. The really good bridges are the ones we cross in order to thrive. Remember that before the 20th century, being fat like the goats want to be was a sign of thriving life, not of sickness. The really good bridges are the ones that are sure to have a troll, or more than one. These bridges can be personal, social, congregational, political. Something I'm going to try and do every time I'm here is to give you all something to work with. Something you can take out into your workplace or the political season that we're in and apply it. And be backed up by the power of ancient stories of the human collective and our shared memories. Hope I can. I took that as part of the church, even though you didn't say it. It's kind of worrying. The trolls we meet on any really good bridge ask us, who's that tripping over my bridge? Who's that tripping over my bridge? Who are you? very threat that they pose, to answer truthfully, who are you? Show me. Show me who. If you won't think about who you are and where you're going and what it's worth to you, you may never get across. If you won't risk your soul, I will gobble it up for food. Trolls ask us who we are as they threaten us with being nothing. That is some very deep questioning. With the troll's help, we gain depth and distance while our simple hunger to survive grows to an appetite for that improbable feast just a few steps further on, just over there. There, where the billy goats got so fat, they were scarce able to walk home again. And if the fat hasn't fallen off them, why, they're still fat. And so, snip, snap, snap, his tail's pulled out.